1 Samuel, but I'm not going to turn to the Bible because it's a long passage. So I truncated it. I picked out the important passages and I put them on the screen so that we can all read exactly the same thing together. Everything's there, almost everything's there. So let's read it together. A certain man had two wives. Oh dear. If I was saying that in our London language, immediately the people hearing me would say, oh yes, and what? We would say, Quadingi yala, wadingi nawa ango di jindi, ayedi, oh, yayo, yayo. That means it's bound to follow with trouble. And having lived for and worked for 55 years with a polygamous group of people in the Lunda tribe, I can tell you that it almost always leads to trouble. Well, here we are. A certain man, Elkanah is his name, a certain man had two wives. Peninnah had children. Probably, we think, 10 sons and daughters, so she was well blessed. She had 10 children, but Hannah had none. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Her rival, see the second wife, what's she become? She's become a rival. Her rival kept provoking her. Wicked woman. Provoking. You know that word? It's in our language, it's the word we use for a rhinoceros. You know, rhinoceros has this one horn. And that, when it pokes people, that is this word here. Provoking. Well, that's what she was doing. She was provoking Anna in order to irritate her. This went on year after year after year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Let's have the next. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery, see all these words that come piling up, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, the priest who was there, an old man, very old man, he's got two wicked sons, but he's the priest there in a place called Shiloh, before the main temple. This was a small house, like a gospel hall, really. Go in peace. Eli answered, she was praying to the Lord, asking for a son, and Eli said, go in peace. At first he thought she was drunk. It tells us in the passage. He could see her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out, so he thought she's been at the wine. She's drunk. But she said, I'm not drunk. I'm in deep anguish. And I've been praying to the Lord. So Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you whatever you have asked of him. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped the Lord. So in the course of time, Hannah gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. The next thing she did was to write a psalm. Did you know there were any women psalmists in the Bible? Did you know that? Which psalm would you go to if you want to get a psalm that a woman's written? Can you put it up for us? We're almost certain, not 100%, but this psalm comes at the end of chapter 2, in the next chapter in 1 Samuel. It's much longer there. This is a shortened version, and I've shortened it even further to 3 points, because the whole psalm has got 3 major points. So this is what Hannah prayed. Now, I'll tell you in a minute. Let the name Yahweh be praised. That's for, it says Lord in the English Bible. Let the name of the Lord, let Yahweh be praised, both now and forever. That's number one. Number two, who is like Yahweh, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? That's two. Three, he raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the dung heap. Three things. She learned that through all the troubles she'd gone through. So here, Hannah, we're going to think about Hannah. What's the first thing? When you read that passage, what came to your mind? I tell you, when I read it, the first thing that came to my mind was, here is a woman in deep depression. She was deeply depressed. And I want to tell you this morning that all depression has a cause. Any psychiatrist or psychologist will tell you that all depression has a reason. It doesn't just come. There's a reason for depression. And usually, the reason for depression is that a person feels they have lost control of the situation. She's being controlled by the situation, or he is. It's not just women, it's men as well. Not just old people, it's young people, children. They've lost control, and they're being controlled. And that causes a feeling of depression. What's depression like? Anybody ever been in depression here? I wouldn't ask you to put your hand up, but I know what depression is. I felt depressed at times. You feel that the ceiling is almost coming down upon you. You feel that the walls are contracting. It's all pressing in upon you. The world seems to be getting smaller and smaller, and darker, less colour in the world. It's blacker and whiter. A feeling of hopelessness and tiredness. When people are depressed, they feel fatigued, weary, tired, joyless. No interest in life. The appetites, that's one of the first things that goes. You noticed Hannah there. She said, I'm in deep depression. She couldn't eat. She was losing weight. She lost interest in life. No appetite. Weeping. There's Hannah weeping away. Weeping is very, very much a sign of depression. Unable to face the day. There's nothing to get out of bed for. An emptiness, a fatigue, insomnia, and ultimately suicidal. So she was in a deep depression. And what's the cause of it? Well, I know what was making it worse. The cause was she wanted a child. And she couldn't have a child. And here was this other woman who had maybe 10 sons and daughters as well. You think she'd sympathize, wouldn't you? But no, in their culture, she was more blessed by God. The more children you are, the more blessed you are by God. And it's obvious that Hannah, there was something spiritually wrong with that woman. God did not have any blessings for that woman. And it's obvious because she had no children. And if somebody is not spiritually right, what do? You dig the nail in. You make it worse for them. That's what she felt. And that's what I found in Zambia as well. A spiteful second wife. And she was spiteful because not only was Hannah obviously something spiritually wrong with her, but her husband, Elkanah, loved Hannah more than he loved her. All the signs were there. He loved his other wife more than he loved her. Even though she'd given him all his sons, even though she'd blessed his life, even though she would carry his name into the future, he loved Hannah more than her. And so, Peninnah taunted her, she provoked her, she irritated her, until she could bear it no longer, and she stopped eating, and she got sick. And this was particularly in evidence when they went down to Shiloh. That's the place where they used to go once a year to worship the Lord. The word Shiloh means peace. The root of that in Hebrew is peace. They went to the place to meet with God. A place of peace. A place to offer sacrifice. And this spiteful woman looked upon that, the place where she could cause the most hurt to poor Hannah. And it was at these feasts that she particularly said, you shouldn't be worshipping here. You're not right with God. You know, it was the ultimate disgrace in their society, in Jewish society in those days. The most important thing was to have a son, and if not a son, a daughter. And if you didn't have a child, you were failing in your duty to your husband, to his family, to your clan, and to the society. Because the name had to be carried forward. And all the inheritance depended on the son that you could give to your husband. So Hannah was bringing disgrace upon Elkanah, upon the family. So she had every right, she felt, to irritate and to provoke. No wonder she was depressed. How would you have felt in that situation? Aren't you glad you're not in a monogamous, in a polygamous marriage? I wouldn't like to be in that position. But as I said, living in the Lunda society, I know all about this. I've dealt with so many women who've had problems like this. I've had women come and pray on my doorstep at the crack of dawn in Zambia because of problems. They will write songs in their own language about a woman like this. And in their songs they will say, all she's fit for is to be thrown out. And they use an abusive word. She's fit for the dung heap. What do you throw in the dung heap? That's what she is. And that's where she should be, in the dung heap. Even miscarriage, they look upon as the same as barrenness. If she doesn't produce a healthy child, if it's a miscarriage, or if the child is sick, if it has sickle cell anemia, or something like that, it's the woman to blame. She sinned before she became pregnant. I remember a young couple. He was called Obed and she was called Joy. Very young, teenagers they were. And they came to me and said, we're going to get married. And I said, well, that seems very good. And Joy was a very joyful person. And they got married. But unfortunately, every time they got pregnant, there were problems. And the family came to Obed and said, you must get rid of this woman. This woman is an evil curse upon our family. Get rid of her. And they put all the pressure they could upon that young couple to get rid of that woman. And he wanted to take her to the hospital. But they wouldn't let him. They said, get rid of the woman. And they filled her with drugs and medicine. I can't tell you all the evil things that they do. But she had a child and the child lived. So fortunately, the marriage survived. But you can see, Joy was depressed. When they were doing that, both of them went into the depths of depression. Depression is a terrible thing. It really is a terrible thing. There are all sorts of things that can cause depression. I know a little girl. She tried to best to keep up with her friends in school, but she couldn't read. She tried and tried and tried, but she couldn't read. So her daddy, who's very clever, spent hours and hours and hours, and her mother spent hours trying to teach her to read, but she just couldn't do it. There was something wrong there. She couldn't understand. She tried, she wept, and that little girl went into deep depression. And the school was not interested. And this lasted for several years. Deep depression. A little girl, she shouldn't have been depressed like that. Because she couldn't read the questions for maths or anything else. And then the parents paid for somebody and it turned out she had dyslexia. And there was a reason, you see. As soon as she found there's a reason, it helped her. There's a reason that's causing me to be like this. Barrenness can be a terrible. I know of several women in this country, some of them relations of mine, who suffered terribly because they couldn't have children. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 17:22? You all know it off by heart, don't you? Proverbs 17:22. What does it say? A merry heart. In the old version, it said, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Isn't it true? When you're happy, life's wonderful. Your body's strong. You feel good. You've got a good appetite. Your relationships are good. But when you're depressed, it even affected the relationship with her husband. When somebody's depressed all the time, how can the husband rejoice anyhow? So this woman was depressed. But then I see a woman who was filled with joy. And the reason is God. She had her faith in God. She was filled with joy. How did it come about? How did she come from being a woman in the depths of depression to being a woman filled with joy? What was the change? Well, I'll tell you what it was. Prayer. An answer to prayer. Believing the answer to prayer. She prayed, "Lord, if only you'll give me a child." She prayed it every year. But this year there was something different. I don't know why God didn't hear for all those other years. He did hear, but he didn't give her the answer she wanted. Sometimes God does keep us waiting, I must confess. God does keep us waiting sometimes for a reason. But this year, God said to her through the priest, "The Lord bless you. You go, and may God give you what you have prayed for." And she believed. This is the word of the Lord. And she believed it. If you believe that God has given you a promise, and you know that God has got the ability to keep that promise, what's going to happen? She went home, and she had a good meal. That's what she did. She had a I bet that tasted wonderful. I bet that meal tasted absolutely wonderful. She hadn't been eating for I don't know how long, but suddenly the food, it tasted delicious. She went home and she had her good meal. And it tells us in the passage that she worshipped the Lord. Her heart was filled with worship. She's got joy. She's got her appetite back. Her heart's rejoicing in God. She's filled with worship. When God speaks and you feel God, when I feel the hand of the Lord upon my life, it causes me to sing a song that I love you, Lord. It causes you to worship. Her heart was filled with worship. Her joyful relationship with her husband was restored. She had this wonderful relationship with her. She went home with her husband. He could see everything was different. Joyful relationship with her husband. And then fourthly, she had a son. In the course of time, it says, when the time came right, in the course of time, she had a son. And he was called Samuel. And you know what that means in Hebrew, don't you? God has heard and answered my prayer. God always hears. You'll never pray and God doesn't hear. He always hears. It's the answering that's the difficult part, isn't it? And Samuel was born, one of the greatest prophets of all time. And thousands of years later, we are still talking about Samuel. What, Peninnah's 10 sons, can you name them? The daughters, can you name them? Do you know anything about that woman or her family? No. It all seemed wonderful for Peninnah then. Hannah had to go, for some reason, she had to go through this dark, dark valley. But she came out on the other side, and the sun shined upon her, and life was different. And 3,000 or 4,000 years later, we're still talking and singing about Anna. A young couple in our church, they got married, early 20s. It was lovely. Lovely, went to their wedding, it was wonderful. Only a few months afterwards, he found he had a tumour on the brain. And the tumour had affected every single organ in his body. And he was told, there's absolutely no possibility that you'll ever have a baby. Just married. You will never have a baby. And so they stood up in our church and said, "Please, don't be asking us. We'll tell you now, we're never going to have a baby. It is physically impossible that we can ever have a baby. Just pray that the Lord will give us peace." And so we did. We prayed for them, the Lord would give them peace. And they had peace, they had joy, but they were sad. And we had a day of prayer once. We were praying for blessing in the church, and we had a whole day of prayer. And at the end of the day of prayer, they came to the front, both of them, with tears streaming down their faces. And they said, we know that we said, don't ask us, but we're just longing for the Lord. And we know that he can do a miracle. Would you pray for the Lord to perform a miracle for us? And so we did. We came forward and we prayed for this young couple. And 9 months later, they had a baby. And that bit is wonderful to go into church and see that beautiful baby today. We've seen a few babies born in Zambia like that. But let me tell you this. Sometimes God says no. I know when I've counseled, sometimes I've said to them, maybe God doesn't want you to have a baby. Maybe it is not his will. Will you accept that? And when we pray to God, we must always pray with an acceptance that we accept what God has for us. Paul prayed and prayed and prayed. He was in the depths of depression as well. Paul, the great Paul, the apostle, he'd suffered so many things, but he was depressed because there was a thorn in his flesh, something troubling him. He couldn't do his work properly while this thing was troubling him. So he went to the Lord. He'd had so many prayers answered. He'd walked in heaven's courts. He'd had visions and he'd seen people healed. And he said, Lord, please heal me. 3 times. He went back and said, Lord, please. And God said, no, I'm sorry. Paul, it's not for you. This is the right thing for you. And in this thing that you're experiencing, you will experience my power. For in weakness, my power is made perfect. We've got to accept God's will. So I don't want to tell, God does answer prayer. I've seen him work miracles. I've seen it with my own eyes. But I've seen other people, and God hasn't answered, and I've seen them be a tremendous blessing to the world. Rivers of life flowing out to other people. And when we accept God's will, it gives the same amount of joy as when they had that baby. Exactly the same amount of joy. It does. So this woman was filled with joy. She was a depressed woman. She's a woman filled with joy. But she's a woman with a song. And the song came out of the depression and the joy. And this is it. This is the song. We should sing it this morning, shouldn't we? The Psalms should be sung. What did she see? Well, she said she had found in this depression, in this trouble, in these problems, she had found that God has a name. How many names does God have? Can you tell me? How many names does God have? Does anybody know? I said that to a Muslim once. He said, oh, God has 999, I think he said. I said, not 1,000. I think he said, none. I said, well, what's... He couldn't tell me the thousands. That's a secret name. But, 1,000 names, think of that. And, well, God, you would say that he's got an awful lot of names, hasn't he? But he doesn't, you know. When God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, there was only one name. God only has one name, and that's it. YHVH. Yod, He, Vav, He. That's how it's in Hebrew. Yod, He, Vav, He. How would you pronounce YHVH? Can you pronounce it? People have tried. It's very difficult to pronounce that. All vowels, in linguistics, they call them semi-vowels, actually, but we won't get into that now. How would you pronounce that? Well, you can put your own vowels in there. If you put an A, Yahweh. If you put an E, Yehovah. If you put a O, Yo-vah. Very, very, so we don't know what the pronunciation is. We do not know, let's just admit. We don't know what the pronunciation is. But I know what the meaning is because God told us. The meaning is, I am. God's name means I am. I am here now. I am. And Anna said this. Let the name, let's call him Yahweh, shall we? Or Jehovah. You can pick either. In our Lunda we say Jehovah or Yahweh. We used to say Jehovah. It doesn't matter. That name means I am now, whatever you need at this moment. What did Hannah need at that moment? God was sufficient for that need. Whatever you need at this moment, God is sufficient for that need. I am, not I was, not I will be. I am now at this moment, whatever you need. And Hannah found that to be a reality in her life. So that's the first thing she found. Let's praise the name. In fact, you can take that name from Hebrew into Greek. And if you take that name from Hebrew into Greek, it becomes Yehoshua. Yehoshua. Yeh means Yahweh. Shua means salvation. And you can take it from that into English, and we get the name, well, if Jesus, you get the name Jesus. So Jesus means that name, Saviour. Jehovah, Saviour. Jesus. So what she said, let the name Jesus be praised. He's the one. Jesus is the one who is the creator of the universe. Let the name Jesus be praised, both now and forever. Who is like Jesus, who stoops down? She's gone into cosmology now. Wonderful woman, this, isn't she? She's gone into cosmology. Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. They would look out there and they'd see the Milky Way, these stars, innumerable, even from their standpoint. A point of view, when the skies were perfectly clear of light pollution, they would see all these stars. And they would know that there are million, uncountable numbers of stars. We know there are 13.8 billion. They've just sent a rocket up there, haven't they? And it's opened up into a wonderful, I can't remember how many meters across, but it's going to look back 13.8 billion years to when the first star started shining. And that's measured in light years, you see. 13.8 billion light years. Well, goodness me. It must be big. Whatever it means, whether you agree with it or not, it must be big. Does anybody disagree with that? It must be big. Compare yourself to that. What does God do when he looks at it? When God looks at that universe, what does he do? What does it say there? God has to get down on his hands and knees to see it, because it's so small. It's so small that he has to get down on his hands and knees to see it. He looks down on this tiny thing called the universe.
He has to humble himself to see it.
Called the earth, and on that earth
is a donkey.
Where is God? He's above the heavens,
looking down. But in the third, where is it? He not only stoops down, but he comes down into the dung heap.
So we see God in the dung heap.
What is God doing in the dung heap? Well, he's looking for Hannah. That's what he's doing. He's looking for Hannah.
Rubbish. Not rubbish to God. God's looking for the ones that is rejected by society. God is down there. Oh, I thank God. When I think where I came from, the kind of life I had, the kind of family, everything, God came looking for me. He came down to where I was. That's what God does. Jesus came down to this world, to where we are, to be as we are. He came down looking for us. It meant him going to a cross. It says there the dung heap, but that's the cross, isn't it? They only put people on a cross who are fit for the dung heap. That's what it means. It's cursed. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a cross. Jesus died on that cross, but he rose again, and he lives today. And that's the Jesus that I present to you today. This is the Jesus, the one that created the universe, the one that met the needs of Hannah, the one that can meet your needs this morning. So let's go out into this new year knowing that we have such a wonderful God, and his name is Jesus. Pass over to you.